It is the season of Easter. The season lasts 50 days. 50 days from the day of the resurrection to the day of Pentecost, which will take us to May 31st. We finished our series in the Lord's Prayer, and these next weeks we're going to do a series called Alive. At least the titles of the messages come from 15 years ago. We did a series called A People Alive, and we started with vital signs and then our senses. And I'm revisiting each of those titles. I'm revisiting each of those sermons too that I gave 15 years ago. And it's always interesting to be like, oh, would I still say the same things? And sometimes yes and sometimes no. So our vital signs, breathing, do you have a pulse? What's your temperature? These are things that we're paying a lot more attention to right now. You figure maybe some of you have jobs right now where you're taking your temperature every day before you're allowed in. Right now, how you're breathing, or if you have asthma, or if, you know, you've had conditions before this virus, attacks our ability to breathe well. When I think of vital signs, it takes me back to 10th grade CPR. And I just remember everyone would have to run up to the Russie Annie doll. And, you know, you would say different things like, has pulse, not breathing, help, call EMS. And then you'd say it like sort of just like that. So you can have a pulse and not be breathing. Sometimes you don't have a pulse and you're not breathing and you still can be resuscitated. This morning I want to see the connections between breathing and spirit and how natural those are, and how maybe just even paying attention more to our own breathing can be a spiritual exercise that helps us access the power of God that God divinely intended for us. Okay, so with that, I invite us to pay attention to our breathing during this sermon. And invite you to a posture where you can breathe freely, a posture that lets you breathe deeply. And I'll begin with a few breathing stats. Most of us only access 10 to 20% of our energy possible through our breathing. We can increase our energy by up to 80% just by breathing deeper. Most of us take between 15 and 20 breaths a minute. Our breathing tends to be shallow from our chest. If we practice deep breathing, you know, that drops to like 6 to 10 breaths a minute. Kind of deep diaphragm. And like right now, since I'm like doing this sermon, like most of my, even like when I try to breathe deeply, I'm still in my chest. You can hear it. You know, it's still like kind of chest breathing. 6 to 10 breaths a minute when we breathe deeply in our diaphragm. So I think this is kind of interesting that to increase your energy by what comes in breathing, you actually have to slow down. Slowing down is required to breathe deeper. And when we slow down, our breathing, it actually increases our power, our energy, as I was logging in this morning, you know, Facebook brought up a memory from 8 years ago today. So 8 years ago today, my son Sam and I was driving him to Bennett Park for baseball practice, because there was this time where group activities could happen, like team sports, and like baseball would be happening right now. So if you can think about, there was a time that that happened. Sam said this, "Dad, do you know what is great about being small? There's more oxygen at lower elevations." Me, "You know what else is good? You have a smaller strike zone." "Yes," Sam said, "that's awesome. Thanks for giving me small genes, Dad." "You're welcome." That's an 8-year-old memory just for you this morning. For those of us who are smaller, there's more oxygen, therefore more power at lower elevations. All right, this verse I want you to be able to see. This is Job 33:4. "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Now in Hebrew, the word for spirit and wind and breath is the same. It's ruach. And this verse in Hebrew doesn't change the words. So it's, "The ruach of God has made me. The ruach of the Almighty gives me life." So breath and spirit are the same. They're identical. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. I love that connection, because sometimes we get spirit and breathing disconnected. But what if even today you just considered and thought about the oxygen coming in and filling your body with life is connected, synonymous, this integration of the divine breath giving you life, that truly you are kept alive by the breath of God. Psalm 104:29-31, "When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their ruach, when you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your ruach, spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. May the ruach of God create and renew you." Psalm 104. Just a couple more verses on these connections of breath and spirit, and then I want us to practice this together. I want us to breathe together as practice. And there's these connections of power. The power of God is manifest in the Spirit of God. We can increase our power by breathing deeply. So when we breathe shallow breathing, we are only accessing 10 to 20% of the energy. We slow down to breathe more deeply. Our body can be filled with more energy, more power. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the holy pneuma, in Greek, ruach, in Hebrew, spirit or breath, comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. We used this verse a couple weeks ago on lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Luke 24:49. Jesus says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So I want us to connect breathing with spirit, as the Bible does, and breathing with power, and to think about resting in and receiving the power of God for life, being filled with the ruach, filled with the pneuma of God. So spirit and power, spirit and breath. The other connection of the Holy Spirit is really one of connection with one another. So the Spirit brings power. The Spirit also brings a fellowship. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13:14. It's a lovely benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the breathing be with you all. So that's where, you know, we sing together, our breathing is united, our heart rate starts to become synchronized. Literally, there is a fellowship that happens in breathing together. And spiritually, there's a fellowship of the Holy Spirit that connects us. So even now, separated by location, the fellowship of breathing together. Ephesians 4:3-4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. So the Spirit of God, the breath of God, the power of God, the fellowship of God that comes through the breath of God, that comes with from inhaling divine life. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the human, the Adam, the human one, from the dust of the humus. From the dust of the Adama, the ground, and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. For those familiar with Jim Baer Jacobs, he pastors, he's one of the pastors at Church of All Nations. He's on staff with Minnesota Council of Churches, a wonderful Native American. He talks about Genesis 2 being the indigenous creation story. So in Genesis chapter 1, you have kind of the imperial creation story or the anti-imperial creation story. So that one, Genesis 1, is confronting the empire of Babylon. And so there the creator is more like the divine Lord. I speak and things happen. And this Lord's way of speaking and making things happen is in contrast to the Babylonian god Marduk. But Genesis chapter 2 preserves an indigenous creation story. And I love when Jim Baer talks about this. The Lord God formed the human from the dust of the humus and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. And he talks about this is an image of God as a midwife. So before you got those blue, like, what do you call them, suction things that you got sent home from the hospital with to clear the nose of your newborn baby. And sometimes when the baby's born, you've got to suction out the mucus plugs that are there so they can breathe. And before you had those, the midwives would literally put their mouth on the baby's nose and suck out those plugs and allow and then breathe into them oxygen. So there was actually like this initial resuscitation that took place. And so Genesis 2, bulb suction. Thanks, Megan. Nasal aspirator. Yes, before those, God is depicted as the nasal aspirator, the midwife, which is a lovely image of God midwifing us into existence. But getting down into the dirt with us and breathing life into us. John 20, 22, John, you know, is really good at recalling Genesis as John retells this story. And in John, kind of the Great Commission is said this way, and with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So if you go back to that image in the garden, Genesis 2, God midwifing, see even Jesus midwifing us as disciples, kind of resuscitating us, breathing into us new life-giving breath of the Spirit. Breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. A couple more verses and then we're going to breathe together. Romans 8, 16. The pneuma, the Spirit of God, testifies with our spirit. The breath of God testifies with our breath that we are children of God. And I wonder when we have this sense, if we can pay attention to our breathing, which is a common, you know, if you do any meditation or yoga, you're gonna, the instruction is to pay attention to your breathing. And I hear this in Romans, kind of this recall. When our breathing is synchronized with the breath of God, with God's breathing, there's a witnessing that takes place. We recognize we're together. We recognize we're kin. We recognize that we are God's children. And that's something that I do in a meditation practice. When there's a sense of, okay, just spend some time, pay attention to your breathing, I imagine that I'm not just breathing in oxygen, I'm breathing in divine breath. When I close my eyes, then I imagine that this breath is filling me with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the holy pneuma, the holy breath, the sacred breath. Don't just see your breathing as secular breathing. It's not even possible. All breathing is sacred. It literally gives us life. To pay attention to that or become aware of that. John 3:34, God gives the Spirit without limit. God is really generous with the breath, with the Spirit that gives life. God gives the Spirit without limit. John 3:34. Pray to your Father in heaven who gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Luke 11:13. God gives good gifts to his children. So we know the good gift that God gives us is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. So again, I see this prayer as a prayer of breathing. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. So you see this connection of power and connection. The Spirit of life gives you power. The Spirit connects you with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so I hear in this prayer kind of like even the instruction about our breathing. Like, we've been trained to breathe poorly or shallowly. We've been trained to breathe only from our chest. When we have access to so much more, we could be filled 80% more. I pray that you would be filled to the capacity, that your lungs would be full, that you would learn to learn how to breathe deeply, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. So as we learn to breathe better, as we slow our breathing to breathe deeply, as we learn to fill our lungs with the life of God, may we be filled to the fullness of God. And this brings us to kind of like this full practice. So there's a breathing in that we can expand. Oh, Pat, can I post a list of these verses? Yes. I can post these notes to the group page. Which would be a good transition to this note page. Ha. 11% of body waste is eliminated by going to the bathroom. Euphemism. 19% through perspiration. I didn't know that. So we get rid of toxins more by perspiring than we do going to the bathroom. 70% of body waste is eliminated through exhaling. Most of the toxins in our body are released through exhaling. So the life of inhaling then is also released. That produces death. Our CO2 is released through exhaling. Now here's another fact. Well, I don't know if this is true. But I read this. More than 80% of our body fat leaves the body through breathing out. Get that? You lose weight by exhaling. This is how this happens. This is how someone who wrote said this happens. I don't know. Human fat cells store triglyceride made up of three atoms. So I guess that's the tri piece. Carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. To shed fat, you have to break down those atoms in triglyceride via the process of oxidation. And when fat is oxidized, it leaves the body as carbon dioxide. So if you have 10 kilograms of fat, when it's oxidized, 8.4 kilograms leave the body as CO2. Via the lungs, and 1.6 kilograms leave the body as water. You pee it out. So literally, that's how you lose weight. that's how you get rid of most of the waste in your body, is it's turned, the waste is turned into CO2 and then eliminated. So this brings us to kind of an ancient practice of the exhaling, which literally is like an inhaling, what brings life that you pay attention to, and then exhale, you pay attention to what brings death. The toxins that you're holding in that you need to release. And this brings us to our practice to close today. Is I want us to practice together inhaling and exhaling. I want us to breathe together as a community. Inhaling the breath, the spirit, the life, the power, the connection of God. And exhaling toxins, the stuff that we are holding in, that our body needs to release. And so some ways that we've done this, we've done the prayer where we pray down, we pray up, and we pray out. So I would say that praying down, is the exhaling, you know, like start by exhaling first. What am I holding on to? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to release? What is producing death? What am I anxious about? What am I wrestling with? What am I bitter over? What am I what am I angry about? What are those experiences? And like not seeing those are like normal emotions, just like carbon dioxide is a normal byproduct of just living, but we need to exhale. So I want us to pay attention to what we need to exhale. And so I'm going to give us time just to think about that. And then if you want to, put words to it, I encourage you to do that. Here in our group page, like I'm exhaling these things, make them known to one another. And then what are we inhaling? What do you want to breathe in today? A couple observations. When we looked at that lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we saw Jesus praying in the garden and saying to his disciples, stay awake, pray with me so you don't fall into temptation. And then there is just kind of those natural reactions, fight, flight, freeze. The reaction to fight, the reaction to run away, escape. I think the reaction to freeze is to like shut down. And I want us to pay attention to all of those kind of normal reactions in this time. What make us kind of have an impulse to fight? I think pay attention to what makes us want to escape. So when Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, that first line is, don't get drunk on wine. I would say more accurate to being filled with the Holy Spirit, where you're breathing in, like we would say, like, what are you smoking? Like, what are you inhaling? But pay attention to what are the self-medicating behaviors during this time, and some of you, you're absolutely just going to need, and they're a grace. But I'm talking about non-judgmental paying attention. Like, I am totally self-medicating right now. And then as you pay attention and you name those things, would you even breathe in the divine breath of like, oh, and what would even bring even more energy in life? Like, how, Spirit of God, can you fill me with the life of God in more ways, especially now as I look to try to survive, right? I think when I you know, when I saw those like protests going on in Minnesota, like protesting the stay at home orders, it reminded me of a few things. One, like, this work of breathing and paying attention is actually really hard. I think a lot of spiritual practices actually are like really boring, and kind of breathing and slowing down, we're not used to it, and we can actually react to it, and sometimes react to it pretty violently, or even think that slowing down is wrong, or the boring is wrong, or and we don't want it. And I want to encourage us to press through that kind of stuff, to notice how we're reacting. And so to me, as you know, I went through as crazy and as frustrating as I think the kind of protesting stay at home is, of like wanting the right to infect people, is incredibly selfish. What I see in some ways mirrored there is actually the product of white supremacy conditioning, which lives in me, which not just in them, those who are protesting, but there is a very long history of fighting against no. Like a collective no is seen as an infringement that is wrong, that needs to be fought against. And a lot of those no's that felt like infringements are really, really deeply wrong and corrupt. So, you know, a big part of why the Revolutionary War was fought was because the colonies were angry that England said you can't expand your boundaries past the Appalachian Mountains. Kind of drew a line like stop taking more indigenous lands. You need to like cool it. And that was a big reason that's in the Declaration of Independence. No, we are going to take what we want. What do you mean we can't have slaves? No, we're going to fight for our right to oppress people. And this manifestation of just like a collective communal no as seeing as an infringement of like a divine right is to me a mirror of a symptom, of deep symptom of white supremacy, which needs to be confessed, which needs to be owned, and needs to be exhaled deeply. So that was just some of my wrestling with that this week, but just then seeing how in myself do I still do that? How do I exhale those things that initially feel like, oh, I don't like that, that it was a no to the will, but it is actually a disciplining one that is really important. And so now I like even see like a stay at home, shuttering in place, sheltering in place, as like a needed discipline to the will, and actually how we practice the like appropriate fight muscle, like a resistance that's good, is by staying home. It's an act of resistance. You're actually fighting for people to not get sick and die. And I feel like that is really honorable. But a lot of that doesn't come unless you slow down and pay attention to what's rising and falling in your chest. Why am I having this reaction? Is it because it's wrong, or is it because there's actually something toxic in me that needs to be named and released? Breathe in. Breathe out. So as we close and come into communion in that space, again, I'm going to invite you to name some of the things that you need to exhale. And I want you to name some of the life of God that you want to receive as a gift, that you want to breathe in. And to get us into this practice, I've got another... I was actually wondering, I was like, oh, I bet Jan Richardson has a breathing poem. And I follow her. She's got a page on Facebook if you want to follow Jan. And yesterday, in fact, she posted, she's like, here's a John 20. I breathed on you the Holy Spirit. And posted this prayer from her book, The Cure for Sorrow, which I recommend. And it's the blessing of breathing. So I'm gonna read this poem three times. And I want you to receive kind of in this practice as just a practice of slowing down. So it's a boring practice that I want to invite you to try to like actually enter into a practice of stillness. Pay attention to what then rises in you, kind of the what bubbles out. And then name those. So if you want to journal, if you want to write some of these things down, if you want to journal online, like live with the Facebook page, do that. Jan Richardson is her name. RICHARDSON, Jan Richardson, and this is the blessing of breathing. So I invite you for where you are. If you feel comfortable and you want to close your eyes, you can, but get into a posture. That is comfortable. Breathe in that first breath and let it out. Pay attention to your breathing as I read these words. Again, I'll read this three times. The blessing of breathing. That the first breath will come without fear. That the second breath will come without pain. The third breath, that it will come without despair. And the fourth without anxiety. That the fifth breath will come with no bitterness. That the sixth breath will come for joy. Breath seven, that it will come for love. May the eighth breath come for freedom, and the ninth for delight. When the tenth breath comes, may it be for us to breathe together, and the next, until our breathing is as one. Until our breathing is no more. That the first breath will come without fear. That the second breath will come without pain. The third breath, that it will come without despair. And the fourth, without anxiety. That the fifth breath will come with no bitterness. That the sixth breath will come for joy. Breath seven. That it will come for love. May the eighth breath come for freedom, and the ninth for delight. When the tenth breath comes, may it be for us to breathe together, and the next and the next, until our breathing is as one, until our breathing is no more. That the first breath will come without fear, that the second breath will come without pain, the third breath that it will come without despair, and the fourth without anxiety, that the fifth breath will come with no bitterness, that the sixth breath will come for joy. Breath 7, that it will come for love. May the 8th breath come for freedom, and the 9th for delight. When the 10th breath comes, may it be for us to breathe together, and the next, and the next. Until our breathing is as one, until our breathing is no more. Amen. We're going to say the call and response for communion. So again, here's a little pause if you want to get some elements to receive the body and blood of Christ that we do together, the bread and the wine. We'll read this call and response together. We'll take communion. And then in the space, again, I encourage you to write, what do you need to exhale? What do you want to exhale? What do you want to release to God's care? What toxins do you want to eliminate from your body? And then make known and name the power of God, the life of God that you want to inhale this week. Okay. Join me. Lord, we remember when we share this meal that we have been forgiven and made new. Jesus, thank you for making us new. Thank you for forgiving us. We will also forgive each other. Lord, we remember that we are united together in Christ. Jesus, thank you for welcoming and accepting us. We will also accept and welcome one another.